Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. If you're willing to share some really humbling poetry in order to walk home with a rubber chicken, our next guests have an event coming up for you. Reach Literacy hosts an evening of bad poetry this Thursday, July 13th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's at Prairie Berry in Sioux Falls. It's a night to celebrate where all good poets come from, which is to say everyone has to start somewhere. In honor of the auspicious occasion, we welcome one of the state's best poets, Mr. Patrick Hicks. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be back, Lori. Thank you.
And also Paige Sarda, Executive Director of Reach Literacy, is with us. Thanks.
Good morning.
All right, Paige, let's start with you. Where'd the idea for a night of really bad poetry followed by the really good poetry of Patrick Hicks come from?
I mean, I think everybody in middle school has written some poetry, right? You have a breakup, you have a boyfriend, and I have a whole probably pile of it back at my home. But I think the thing is that you have to start somewhere, and when you think about literacy and you think about reading and writing, we really wanted to sort of make it approachable for people. Everybody, you know, you can't all be a great poet, but you can be a bad poet. So why don't we celebrate that and be willing to talk about your bad poetry?
All right, let's break it down how the evening is going to play out. You have some celebrities.
We do have some celebrities. Yeah. So Thea Miller Ryan is going to come. She wrote a lot of angsty poetry in middle school that she saved in her denim folders that she had, which is perfect. And then Cindy Heidelberger Larson is going to come and talk about some of her poetry as well. We're also hoping that if you are willing to share some of your poetry, some of our audience members are willing to bring up their poetry and kind of talk about that and be willing. Then at the end of the night, Patrick will come up and really kind of break down, you know, maybe you don't know it as a bad poem, you know, or what makes a good poem, what makes a great poem, and how do you fix your bad poetry? And that's one of the other things we'll talk about too. Can you take your poem and make it into something really awesome?
All right, where does the rubber chicken come in?
You know, we just want something that you could throw at somebody if you needed to, or you just say, that's the worst poem I've ever heard in my whole life. You just want something a little, we want to keep it lighthearted.
All right. So Patrick Hicks, we're going to go back to your middle school days. I know you're dying to go there.
Oh yeah, who isn't?
When did you start? My daughter had a really great middle school experience. I just want to throw that out there before we say that middle school is a big flush down the toilet time. Some kids really have a wonderful, great teachers, great school, great friends, great middle school. It's possible.
I'm sure it is for some people. If you're a nerdy, overweight kid with glasses like me, it was not. So I did write a lot of poems and in middle school, and I thought they were fantastic. I thought they were great. But they were awful. They were just uniformly terrible and radioactively bad. But they were the springboard to help me write better poetry. Yeah. So when we meet at Prairie Berry on Thursday, July 13th from 6 to 8, I'm going to try to find some of those middle school poems. But I know that I've got some poems that I wrote in college, which I also thought were great, but are awful.
Can you remember the themes, or was it what you wanted to write out about was so bad, or was it you just didn't understand, you know, the craft yet?
I didn't understand the craft yet. At that point in time, like when I was a teenager, I was more concerned about what I wanted to say in the poem rather than what a poem is, and a poem is a gift to the reader. So you have to be thinking more about the reader than about yourself. Even though a poem might be about you, it has to have some sort of ability to connect with the reader. So I think most bad poetry starts with a self-absorption and terrible metaphors, and they almost always rhyme, and they are almost always center-justified. And the capitalization is just all over the place.
Center justified on the page with your little computer there. Yeah. Or typewriter, as it were, back when we were kids. When did you rhyme a lot?
I did, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I got nothing against rhyming poetry. You know, I have many of my colleagues that are into formalist sort of conventions when it comes to poetry. Yeah. It's very hard to do, and it's extremely hard to do well. I, like many contemporary Americans, I just prefer to play around with form that is not rhyming.
When did you learn that poetry was a gift to the reader and that the reader was part of the process and that the reader mattered?
I've never been asked that question before. I wish I could say it was some revelatory moment, you know, where light shined out and I could learn that quickly, but it was a slow process, I think. And I think it started when I started to get my work published, because I noticed that the work that was getting published had a sense of generosity to it that went beyond me.
Right. Paige, let's talk a little bit more about the event. And there's a ticket price, and what's the money go to?
Yeah, it's $5. We wanted to keep it really simple. You actually get fed when you come, so it's a great deal. And drinks are on you, but we will have pizza that night, so, and it's a $5 cover. Really, our goal for this summer, we were kind of doing a summer series, so we're doing bad poetry, and we're doing an adult spelling bee in a couple weeks. And then a rap masterclass. And really, we're working towards creating a literary center for Reach. And part of that, we want people to think about reading beyond just teaching adults to read, that reading goes your entire life. And that there's lots of different ways to expand on literacy. And that might be writing poetry, that might be reading it. And we really want to expose people to that and have them think about us in a variety of ways. And so this is just one of those events.
You did something about the best advice you ever got. How did that event go? You had people get up and read there. Was it pretty powerful stuff?
Yeah, I think the thing, you know, we always do like Brouhaha when we do that once a year, and that's a storytelling event. And the reason we do storytelling is most of the folks that come to us to learn to read have a really impactful and powerful story that they're telling. And so we really want people to be able to talk about that. And so this year we did tell us about the best or worst advice that you got. And some of them were just, you know, downright hysterical. And then there's some, you know, just small, you know, instrumental ways that people gave you advice that really changed the course of what you were doing. It might have been when you were 7, or maybe it was from Captain 11 if you're Zach DeBoer. I mean, just those really pivotal defining moments. And I think that resonates for a lot of people. And just, you know, in a small way, it changed your course of your life.
Patrick, what are you going to read when to cleanse the palate from all the laughter and the bad poetry and the, I can't believe I wrote that and I can't believe I saved it and gosh, I really can't believe I shared it with the room.
Yeah.
What happens next? How do we end the night?
Well, I'm going to read some of my poems from my latest collection, Adoptable, some of which are funny, some of which are touching. We also will, I will hand out a poem that is, I intentionally wrote as a bad poem, and I'll invite the audience to make it better. And they will definitely make this poem better because it is a true stinker. The point is to have fun, raise awareness of literacy, of course, and to do good work there, but also to have fun with language, because that's ultimately what poetry is about.
So when a musician plays the wrong note, they know when they're bad, and you have to listen to yourself be bad in order to get good. What's your advice to poets who are looking at their work saying, I don't know, it seems good to me, but it's not getting published. How do I know that it's bad, and how do I push it toward better, and then how do I push it toward truly excellent?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big believer, an evangelist even, for work, and to keep writing. I think the only way that you will get that ear for what's working and what's not working is to keep writing. You know, there's this figure that's bandied about often. You have to work at something for 10,000 hours before you're good at it. You know, I don't know if it's 10,000, I don't know if it's 12,000. In the end, the number is insignificant to me, but it's the idea of the process that counts. And if you're willing to go through the process with just about anything, you're going to get good at it. So I think that's one of the things when you start to write poetry, especially maybe in middle school or in your 20s, if you haven't written much poetry, it will be hard to figure out what's good because you haven't done enough of it.
Right. What did you have to unlearn that you learned in middle school and high school English class to become the poet that you are today?
Wow. I'm not sure I have a handy answer for that. I do sense that, you know, when I started to write my early poetry, I realize now it was kind of like lyrics. I mean, I was obsessed with, you know, like rock groups and everything, and I had visions of maybe wanting to be a lyricist for a rock band, so I was trying to get everything to rhyme. And in retrospect, I realized that was really hampering to my imagination, was trying to get everything to rhyme and have a particular beat and cadence to it. So,
when did you start writing about love? Because you've written about love.
Yeah.
Did you do that in middle school?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All yeah. Right. I still remember, and there's no way she would hear this, but I still remember who my partner was in like ninth grade chemistry. I'd still carry a small little torch for her, but I'm not going to say who that is.
Right. Yeah. I wrote a poem for somebody I won't name either. Yeah. He's a doctor somewhere in this town, so we'll just keep that quiet. It was a very angry, angsty poem, though, so I don't think he'd want to be outed. All right. Let's end our time together with some good poetry. And I should say, next week, I haven't told you this yet, and we really haven't announced it, we're doing an hour on adoption in South Dakota, and we happen to have some Patrick Hicks poetry from Adoptable that we're going to weave into that hour as well. So you might get to hear Patrick Hicks this week and next week on In the Moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What do you have for us today?
Well, I thought I'd read a poem called Surprising Things I Have Said. We did adopt a beautiful little boy from South Korea. He's now 8. And as with any parent, when we first, the first couple of years, I realized I was saying things which seems so crazy to me. So I started to write down these like warnings or admonitions that I had for him. And so this is a found poem. So everything I'm going to read, I actually said to my son at some point in time. Surprising Things I Have Said. Toilet paper is for people, not dinosaurs. Coffee cups are not shoes. Take those off your feet. Stop licking the wall. Stop licking the cell phone. Stop licking the television. Did you put a pee up your nose? Don't wipe boogers on my cookie. Stop biting my pocket. I don't care if you're a dinosaur, it's still bedtime. Put your underwear on, then we'll talk. Dirt is an outside toy. The sun is a star that's very close to us. It's our home star. It's a big bubble of burning gas. Trees are what we call them when they're alive. Wood is what we call them when they're dead. Furniture is made out of dead trees. If you can't get out of your house, it's called a prison. Look, I can touch vomit, but you can't. Soup is not finger paint. For the last time, please take that plastic bag off your head. Don't sit in the fridge. I eat books with my eyeballs and put them in the tummy of my head. Don't ride that jar of mustard around the kitchen. Mustard is not a car. If you're alive, you can move. If you're dead, you can't. This is important. Are you listening to me? It's okay to be scared. It's what you do because you're scared that really matters. Do you do nothing or do you do something? And let me tell you, you're smart. You can do anything.
Patrick Hicks, I'm chewing a hole in my cheek to not laugh during that, and then I'm crying at the end. So thank you. That is a gift to all of us. Patrick Hicks is the author of numerous books. Let's see, Adoptable, This London, Finding the Gossamer, are some of the poetry books you can find on his website, patrickhicks.org. Paige Sarda, Executive Director of Reach Literacy, and the event is Thursday the 13th, 6 o'clock, in Sioux Falls at Prairie Berry.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much both for coming in today.
Thanks, Lori.